We come to this time, and we try to never make light of communion and that time that we have with the Lord, but too soon on the microphone, guys. Too soon. I apologize for my loudness. And I say welcome to all of our visitors this morning we have in here, and all of you that are part of the family here at Rossville, and then welcome to everybody who's online with us. And all of our family gathered here together who are in Christ Jesus, for we are family together. If you would, we're going to turn over to Psalm, and we're going to turn over to Psalm 142. As you know, we've been reading through some of the Psalms as a reminder of how David prayed as we're talking about prayer. We're wrapping up our prayer series. Now, I know some of y'all are like, whoo. It's been a long series. I get it. It's been a great series, though. What was slotted for 4 sermons have now turned into 9. That's just the way the Holy Spirit works. And I'm sorry, you're just going to have to live with that. But that's the way God works. But we're in Psalm. If we want to turn over to Psalm 142, that's where we're going to start this morning. And then, of course, we'll be over in Matthew 6 to finish up prayer. But it says this in Psalm 142. Great, great, great prayer by David. And it says this: I cry aloud to the Lord. I lift my voice to the Lord for mercy. I pour out before him my complaint. Before him I tell my trouble. When my spirit grows faint within me, it is for you who watch over my way. In the path where I walk, people have hidden a snare for me. Look and see, there is no one at my right hand. There is no one is concerned for me. I have no refuge. No one cares for my life. I cry to you, Lord. I say you are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. Listen to my cry, for I am in desperate need. Rescue me from those who pursue me, for those who are too strong for me. Set me free from my prison, that I may praise your name. Then the righteous will gather about me because of your goodness to me. Let's pray for some wisdom. Thank you, Lord, for this time of the Word, of your great and mighty Word that's powerful, it's living and active, it's constant, it's moving, it's changing lives, it's rescuing souls. We thank you for this wonderful time we have together in you, that we may glorify you, that we may raise up in you, that we may bless you with what we know, and may you grant us wisdom to grow deeper in love with you, to know the Word deeper, to see it for what you called it to be, that we may turn and praise you. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. So the young man was told to take the trash outside. And he, being afraid of the dark, said to his mother, "It's dark outside." And she says, "Do not be afraid. Jesus is with you." And so he says to her, "But I'm still afraid, it's dark outside." She says, "Don't worry, Jesus is everywhere." So the little boy, going to the back door, cracks it open with all the brave courage he can muster, and speaks out a whisper into the darkness, "Jesus, if you're there, can you take the trash out for me?" Sometimes in this life we have struggle with our fears, with our sins, with our worries, with our strife. But I'm here to tell you, don't worry, Jesus is near. Jesus is here. You know, it's this last part of the prayer as we face the daily temptations, as we face the daily struggles in this life. Matthew 6 and verse 13 says this: "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the authority forever and ever. Amen. Forever and ever. Amen. This is a mighty, powerful prayer to pray in your life. For we all face temptation. For the devil is the author of temptation. All we need to do is swing on over to John 8 and verse 44. It tells us that. And you belong to, this is him, he's talking to some of the Pharisees. And it says this, you belong to your father, the devil. So you never really want to hear that from Jesus. That's a bad thing, all right? You belong to your father, the devil. And you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not withholding truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native tongue, for he is a liar and the father of lies. So here's this devil, and he's looking to snare you each and every day. That's temptation in your life. That's the things that you don't want to be involved in, and you know you shouldn't be involved in. And yet sometimes we slip and we get involved with it. You know, that's the great thing about grace. That's what grace is for, but we'll get there. In the end, we're in a war with Satan. Satan wants to destroy you. Satan and his minions wants to destroy you. Now, I want to tell you this. I don't want to give Satan any more power than he already has, for Satan is not like God. Sometimes we see Satan like God, like he's this omnipresent, omnipotent being, but he's not. He's limited. He can only be in one place at a time. All right? Now, he's got plenty of minions to help him out. Plenty of fallen angels to work his magics on people. But he can't be in more than one place at one time. He doesn't know everything, because if he knew everything, then maybe he could defeat God, but he can't defeat God, so that's great. He doesn't know everything. He's limited in knowledge like you and I. And he's not all powerful. He cannot overcome the Lord, and he cannot overcome the Holy Spirit that is within you. That's the amazing thing about God. And yet the devil wants to say that he is. He wants to whisper in your ear and says, oh, you can't resist. Oh, just do it this once. Oh, don't worry about that extra donut you don't need. Just eat it. That's one of my struggles. And that's the temptation that comes in. And the scripture tells us that we must be weary of this. We must be on guard for this. James 1 and verse 13, probably one of the best scriptures on this, says this. When tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me, for God is not the tempter. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But always be on guard. This is the second part, and it's over in 1 Peter. It's in chapter 5, verses 8 and 9, and it says this, be alert and sober-minded. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. They're there to lift you up. They're there to encourage you. They're there to give you strength. You know, the spirit within us talks to the spirit within others, and we lift each other up in our times of struggle. But yet, in our time of struggle in America, we don't want to share that, do we? Great song out right now called Truth Is, I think is the name of it. And it's these lies that we've been told that you got to show up to church. Everything got to be okay. Even though you know it's not. We show up here in our pride, in our nice cars, with our nice clothes on. We got it all together. We got it figured out. Meanwhile, in the background, it's all falling to pieces. But we don't want to share that. Because in America, we're not weak. We're strong. We don't want people to know that we may have weakness. You know, as Christians, that should be our number one badge of honor, is our weakness. For didn't Paul say, even in my weakness, that's what makes me strong. I will boast in my weakness. I will take pride in how weak I am, for that is what makes me strong, for that is where the Lord is found in me. That is saying I need him, and I need him every day. Why? Because I suck at life. Amen? Well, I know, well, some of y'all got it together. Y'all tell me the secret, because I sure ain't got it figured out yet. It's like when Chad was telling me, some of y'all are A-plus prayers out there. I'm going to give you maybe a C, all right? Let's be honest. I may get a C on my prayer. Jesus is A-plus. I ain't there yet. I got a lot of growing to do in my prayers, y'all. And I got a lot growing about this right here, where I ask him to rescue me from temptation. And actually, it's not even the word that's inside of here. It's a great word that's in here, but the word lead is a little misleading in what it's talking about. But the devil's always on to know that because this is the context he's talking about inside of this when he's talking about how we need to be on guard. We read throughout, and there's one in Ephesians, one in another place that says, put on the armor of God. And that's a great one. You go back in there and read that about the armor of God. You know where that's at? Google it. It'll take you right there. And it talks about putting on these pieces of the armor. You know, when we're talking about this and it says, lead me not into temptation, it's almost a false translation here. If we go back to the Old Testament, the word that's closest to it is called Nisa, and that word means armor. It means armor. And in here it's saying, let me not be tempted too far, Lord. Let me survive this temptation. We got to put on that armor, and that armor has to be battle-tested armor. You know, we don't like going into battle with armor that has not been tested. When I was in the military and we were heading over to Iraq for all that nonsense, some places we were going to go are pretty dangerous, so they gave us all this tricked out, cool, tactical gear. All right, it looks really cool, and it looks really cool on TV. Let me tell you, it's not cool. It weighs about 80 pounds, and it's no fun, and you're sweating, and you're hot, and you're like, this is really just no good. Until they take you and they want you to have confidence in your body armor. This tack vest we put on, this body armor we put on. They want you to feel confident in your armor. And that way when you're running at the bullets, you feel pretty good about yourself. And so they take this vest out there, they put it on and they hang it. And they take out, back then it was an old M16. They pull out an M16 rifle and they shoot it into the vest. And then they bring the vest back to you and they show you it didn't penetrate. And so you feel confident. Now, understanding that all of our armor is made us by the lowest bidder, so we're really hoping it all works out the same, all right? But we feel really confident we're running into battle. So that's the good thing. The great thing is that's the same thing that happens with you in your life. Your armor must be tested. You must be confident in your armor. For Jesus Christ had the armor of the Lord on. He is battle tested. He was led into the wilderness to be tempted by Satan, and he came out without a scratch because his armor protected him. And you and I can put that same armor on every single day. That's battle tested armor that will defeat the devil and his schemes, to give us confidence against our enemy. James 4, verses 7 and 8. Oh, I love what it says here. Submit yourselves then to God. See, that's the key. See, everybody wants to go on the next part. Everybody wants to snap out these next few words. Resist the devil and he flee. You know, we love that part, but there's a part before that. This is putting on the armor of God. Submit yourselves then to God. That's step one. See, resisting the devil and fleeing don't work unless you submit to God first. That's key. That's putting on the armor of the Lord. That's relying on his power, his authority, and his glory to outlast the devil. And resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will draw near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. That's the authority of God. That's the power of God that works within us. That's the power of God that says in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13, no temptation has overcome you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, see, God didn't do the tempting. Satan and your flesh do most of your tempting. But he's saying when this is happening, he's saying he won't let you be tempted too far. He will also provide a way out so that you may endure it. C.S. Lewis writes on this a little bit. He talks about this tempting and how the devil works. See, the devil doesn't have to tempt you to the extreme. He's only got to tempt you to the point of failure. See, and oftentimes as we be tempted and we're struggling and we're trying our best, pray it out to God, finding our ways out, but there's the light at the end of the tunnel. The problem is most men quit before they reach the light. See, the devil wants to tempt you to the point where you don't see the end, so you fail. He tries to hide the light from you. He tries to say there's no end to this. He tries to say that you don't have any strength left. You can't do this anymore. And God says, yes, you can. Yes, you can. For you have put on a battle-tested armor of God, and he is bigger than the devil, and he is bigger than the temptations of your heart. He's bigger than the temptations of your flesh. He is bigger. Amen. So number one is we got to remove the lies. We got to take the lies out. We got to throw the lies in the trash. We can't listen to the lies anymore. 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 3. But the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen you and protect you from the evil one. He will strengthen you and will protect you from the evil one. He says, I got your back. There's nothing that can touch you. Do you believe in that, people? That's the key. If you're going to do that, then you're going to put away the lies and you won't listen to the lies anymore. Then you realize Satan can't got nothing on you because Satan's going to tell you you're not good enough. He's going to say you're too fat, you're too skinny, you're too tall, you're too short, you're too white, you're too black, you're too old, you're too young. You got too much sin. God can never love a person like you. You've gone beyond redemption. There's no way you can come back. Jesus says, don't listen to the lies. Don't listen to the lies. Put the lies away. I will strengthen you against those lies. I will remove the doubts of your heart. Because that's what the devil's going to bring in. He's going to bring in those doubts with his lies. That's his trick. See, people think he's really crafty, and he is. And he's really smart, and he is. But his tricks haven't changed in 6,000 years. It's lies and doubts. Lies and doubts. You start to doubt the scripture and what it says, that's the devil getting in your head. You start to doubt your salvation, that's the devil getting in your head. You start to doubt that you're good enough or worthy enough, that's the devil getting in your head. That's exactly what he did to Eve back in the beginning with the tree. See, he wants to sow in that doubt. He's going to ask you, did God really say? That's what he said to Eve. Did God really say you couldn't touch the fruit? Took the scripture or took the word of God and he twisted it just a little bit. Is that what God really said? You're right, it's not what God really said. He said don't eat of the fruit of the tree. But he took one little word and he mixes it. And he allows the woman to change one little word in that. And he bolsters that little bit of twisted word and he seeps in the doubt. Nah, you won't die. You just be like God. That's really what he doesn't want you. He wants you to be like him. It's the lies and the doubts that seep in. But we have to remove those doubts. We have to take away those things. We look at the testing of Christ in the desert. Go back and read that. Beginning of Matthew, beginning of Luke. It'll find those temptations inside of the desert. It calls temptation, but the Lord himself cannot be tempted. And God or Jesus is the Lord. So he wasn't really tempted. He was just brought out there so he could defeat the devil at his own game. And the devil uses the scripture against him. And he says, well, doesn't the Bible say this? Or he said, doesn't the scripture say this? Doesn't the prophecy say this? And Jesus says, well, that's kind of what the prophecy said, but you got it wrong because it really says this. Get it right, Satan, because you're wrong. And he comes on and says, well, didn't God say this? And he said, no. This is what God really said. See, he tried to do the same thing he did to Adam and Eve to Jesus. And Jesus said, I ain't having any of it. I'm not going to let you doubt, let me doubt my Father. I'm not going to let me doubt his honest word, his perfect truth. I'm going to listen to it and you're going to be defeated. So get out of here, devil. You got nothing for me. That's what this prayer at the end is all about. It's to let you see clearly the devil's schemes and throw them away. For only God has absolute truth. Only God has absolute truth. Hebrews 4 and verse 12. For the word of God is alive and is active. Listen to me now, y'all. These words, I'm not talking about the book. The book ain't going to grow legs and go crawling off. All right? It's just a book. Okay? Just pages. It's the words. It's the Word of God. See, don't get it confused. It's the Word of God, whether written or whether spoken. It's the Word of God that's living and active. It's what's changing lives. It's sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates into dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Never stops working. That's why you got to be in it. That's why you got to read it or listen to it. You know, you ain't always got to read it. Now, I'm a reader, and you can see I like to mark in mine. I take all kinds of notes. This is about my 15th Bible. As I read through, I take my notes, and it gets real messy, and then I got to go get a new one. My wife's like, another one? I was like, yeah. You can't buy enough Bibles. I'm just telling you. Besides, if you're like me, you leave stuff laying around all the time. And that's why I need another one sometimes, too. But that's just a little treasure I leave for somebody along the way. Maybe they'll pick it up and they'll read it. But you don't have to read it. You can listen to it. And it'll change your life. That's how they did it at the beginning in the church in the first century. So you didn't have somebody coming here in this nice building with the wonderful music we had and the lights going up and down and getting you all ready for in the mood to hear the word. No, they would just stand up there and they would just tell it. They would just tell it because they saw it. And they tasted it, and they experienced it, and they realized the power of it. They could throw away even sin and darkness. It could rip out all of the guilt and shame of your life. It could change you and save your soul. Because of what Christ did on the cross, and that's that He delivered us. He delivered us. And so now we're left in the world with these things all around that want to attack us. See, we're at war. A lot of people thinking war may be coming soon because of all the stuff going on in the world. That's just a distraction. We've been at war for a long time. For those who are in Christ Jesus, you are at war with the world and Satan and everything that is in it, because the world is evil and the world is dark and the world seeks to destroy, for the world is Satan's playground. But we have to be a part of that world. Here with John 17 verse 14, we're going to come back to this in a second. But John 17 verse 14 says, I've given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of this world anymore than I am of this world. We got to be in the world, y'all. We've got to be in this battle till the Lord calls us home. And the Lord calls us home at different times. But as long as you're here, you're in the war. This is the war for souls. This is the war to save the lost. This is the war to bring people to Jesus Christ. And Satan is going to use every single trick in the book to try and get you out of the battle. He doesn't want you a part of the battle. If you're not in Jesus today and you're out there and you're listening to us online or you're watching us in here, look, if you're not in Jesus Christ today, you're on the losing team. Only when you're in Jesus are you part of the winning team. But if you're on the world side, you are the enemy. I know nobody wants to hear that today. That's hard news to hear. We're supposed to love everybody. Look, Jesus said love everybody. Yeah, He did say love everybody. He also went in tossing temple tables and bullwhipping people too, because they were of the world. And they were profaning His Father's house. For they were the enemy of God. Jesus says, if you're not for me, you're against me. That's some strong language. And there's some people out there, and you may be listening today, that may say, I'm going to be good enough. I'm going to do enough good deeds. I'm going to pray every now and then. I'm going to pick up the word, but I don't think I need to really go all the way with this. I'm really enjoying my life too. And I don't need all of that stress, all that religiosity to tell me what to do. It's going to be okay. I'll be good enough. And I'm going to tell you, there's people like that out there today. And if you're that person today, you need to listen to me. Because on that day, Jesus is going to say, away from me, I knew you not. And that's the scariest thing I could ever hear. away from me. I knew you not. You honored me with your lips, but your heart was far from me. Only when we give ourselves fully to Christ Jesus and come into His authority, His love, His power, His majesty, do we then can say, hey, away from me, Satan. I'm not buying into you today. I'm not listening to the world today. I'm not going to follow what the world says. See, the world is full of sin and trouble and strife, and it's going to try and drag us into it. Hebrews 12 and verse 2. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve God's will is His good, pleasing, and perfect will. It says be transformed. Look, we're going to be like the world a little bit still, because we still got some leftovers. I got leftovers of the world. Look, I've been in Jesus, I don't know, since I was 18. I came in a little later in life. But I still got leftovers of the world in me. I still got a flesh that desires some of the things of the world. And I struggle with those things. Hey, look, don't ever let a pastor tell you he don't struggle. Don't ever let a pastor tell you he don't fail. For I'm a sinner just like y'all. There's not a lot of difference between me and y'all. I just got a big mouth. I can sit up here and talk. That's really it. And the Lord has imparted me a gift of preaching. And so I'm trying to honor what He's calling me to do, but I'm not perfect. And I'm still tempted by the world, and those temptations can come and try to corrupt me. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33. Hey, look, if you're in here, you're young people. I need you to listen to this. And what I mean by young people, I mean everybody. Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. Come back to your senses as you ought and stop sinning. For there are some who are ignorant of God, and I say this to your shame. Paul didn't pull any punches with people. He said, get your mind right, because you're acting the fool. And you're hanging out with that stuff you know you shouldn't be hanging out with. And you're going to places you know you ought not be. And you're looking at things on the internet you ought not look at. And you're listening to whispers in your ear you not pay attention to. Only now listen to the Lord. Repent and come back. Put your mind right. And God forgives. For His grace is mighty. We have to set it on our full truth. We have to put on that full truth, because until we have that full truth, we can be deceived. We look at Galatia in the church there, and these Galatians and what Paul says to them, you foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified. I would like to learn just one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by believing what you heard? Did the Spirit come upon you by the way you were able to act, or did it come upon you for your salvation through Jesus Christ? Stop listening to the world. And see, now this is something here, because these were Jews trying to get the Gentiles to do what they shouldn't be doing. But it was really religious. It sounded good. It sounded right. Look, to be saved, yeah, that whole Jesus thing, that's cool and all. But look, before Jesus, there were these laws. And you have to follow these first. Because this is what really matters. That Jesus thing is cool, but look, you got to do this. You got to be circumcised, and you can't eat this meat, and you can't go to these places because the law. And Paul said, why have you been bewitched? He says, it's no good for you. He says, go ahead and get circumcised. You just threw Jesus down in the dust and trampled all over. For it isn't by your works you have been saved. It is by grace through the faith of Jesus Christ you have been saved. By the blood of Jesus Christ that you have been saved. So don't let the world bewitch you. Don't let these things of the world get a hold of you. Be sanctified by Christ Jesus, John 17, verse 13. And I am coming to you now, but I will say these things while I am still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. Watch this. And I have been given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world. See, we're not going to get removed from the temptation. But that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of this world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by what? By the truth. Your word is truth. As you have sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too might or may truly be sanctified. He said this, sanctify yourself. You know, preachers, we often beat people over the head about reading their Bible. Got to read your Bible. Read your Bible every day. Read your Bible. Read your Bible. Come on. Get in your word. Read your Bible. It's because we love you. Like a father loves his children, he loves you. I love you guys. And I know that only through the Word of God can you be sanctified and protected from the evil one. Only through the Scripture can you be protected against the lies of the devil. For that's what Jesus used to defeat the devil. That's what I'm going to use to defeat Satan. For I have no power over Satan. I'm not that strong. I wished I were, but I'm not. I have no delusions about my strength towards Satan. No, instead, I'm going to say, Lord, I'm going to rely upon your Word. To sanctify me, to purify me, to make me holy as you are holy. Because I'm here to tell you, you're kind of like a boat in the water. I love boats. My father loved boats. My father was in the Coast Guard. We got to go out on some of the patrols with him. It's fun to be out on the kind of, they're not big, the ones he were on. Those were kind of smaller. But it was fun to go out there with him and go out on the water, go patrol, see if we could rescue somebody. It was great. Boat on the water. We're kind of like boats on the water, and the water is the world. See, the boat's got to be in the water. A boat out of water isn't any good, is it? You can hook a hose up to it and run it, but you ain't going anywhere. It's not really any fun, let's be honest. Sitting on a trailer, wee, wee, wee. Yeah, it's not going to be any fun. Boat's got to be in the water. Boat's got to be in the water because that's its purpose. That's your purpose, is to be in the water, for the water is the world, and you are to be in the world, but guess what? Not of the world. Where does the water belong? It belongs outside of the boat. You get water inside of the boat, things go bad real fast. And boat sinks. Now, a little bit of water doesn't hurt anything. You can get it out. Matter of fact, I haven't met a boat yet that doesn't leak. I don't know why they build boats that leak, but that's apparently what they're supposed to do. They got things to get them out of there, and that's great. That's grace, bailing the water out. Because sometimes the water gets in. But the key is to keep the water out. Because the water doesn't go in the boat. The boat goes in the water. And the boat moves the water. For the boat is you, and the water is the world. You've got to be in the world, but you're not supposed to be of the world. You're supposed to be moving the world. For his is the power, the authority, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. In our prayers, we should definitely honor the Lord in this way. For it is only by his power that we can do anything. It is only by his authority we can do anything. We go back, we look at Acts 19, and we see what they call the sons of Sceva. This is a fun story. I'm not going to read it all. I'm going to read a portion of it right here. But this is a great thing because this proves it right here. If you have Jesus, you have power and authority because Jesus is the power and authority. If you have the Holy Spirit, you have power and authority because Jesus is that power and authority through the Holy Spirit. Yet there are some out there who think they got something, but they really don't. And that's where we're at here in Acts 13 or 19, verse 13. Some Jews who went around driving out evil spirits tried to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those who were demon-possessed. They would say, in the name of the Jesus, I love this, in the name of the Jesus, whom Paul preaches. So obviously, even in their words, you can tell they don't know Jesus. All right? in the name of Jesus, from whom Paul preaches, I command you to come out. Seven sons of Sceva, Jewish chief priests, were doing this. One day, an evil spirit answered them. So now we're in you're in a bad spot. If they answer back, it's bad. And then the man answered them, Jesus I know, Paul I know, but who are you? Then the man who had the evil spirits jumped on them, overpowered them all, and he gave them such a beating that they ran out of the house naked and bleeding. Only in the power and authority of God and Jesus Christ. His is the only authority and power that matters. We don't have it. We only receive it in baptism through the power of the Holy Spirit. Then the Holy Spirit speaks through us through the power of the name of Jesus Christ to rebuke that which doesn't need to be a part of us. That temptation that we have, that thing that drives us crazy, that thorn in our side that continues to beat us down. And that's it. That's all it takes. It takes being in Jesus Christ, having the Holy Spirit, but that's a humbling state to be in because you realize that if you try this without the Holy Spirit, you're going to wind up like these people. Try to resist temptation without God and the Holy Spirit. I guarantee you, you ain't going to last long. You may get away with it with a day or two. That temptation will overcome you and you will become a part of it. Ask people who are drug addicts. They know. They know because they have that within them. And it's something they just cannot deny, cannot deny, cannot deny. And yet then they go into it. But with the Lord Jesus Christ, I have seen so many healed. Now, it's still a process. For some, it's miraculous, and that's great. But for others, it's still a process. But they finally find the power and the authority of which to overcome the world and temptation. They finally find that armor of God. And it comes from the gospel alone. Colossians 3 and verse 23. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as if working for the Lord and not for human masters. Whatever you do, guys, I want you to remember that temptation is going to come. But work at it with all your heart as if you're working for the Lord. Work at your salvation with all your heart as if you're working for the Lord. Work at your job with all your heart to derail temptation in your job. Work at it with all your heart in your life so you can derail temptation in your life. Work at it with all your heart so that God will show you that way out, that you can overcome temptation, that you will not be destroyed, but the light of Jesus Christ will open the door and cast light into our heavenly temptations. He will cast light upon Satan, and I'm here to tell you that darkness cannot stand within the light. As a matter of fact, that's the very definition of darkness, is the absence of light. So therefore, where the light is, darkness cannot be. And that is what we pray when we say, Lord, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one, for we will rely upon your power and your glory and your kingdom forever and ever. Amen. Let us pray. Thank you, Jesus, for your authority and your power, for your might and your holy word, which sanctifies us. Let us hold to it. Let it be in our minds always. Let it be a part of who we are and everything we are, that you would be glorified, that they would see our good works and praise you, Jesus. Pray this in the power of the holy name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Too soon. Now we come to that time we call it invitation. And typically, invitation is a time for folks that want to come to Christ. Boy, after a message like that, if you're not in Christ Jesus today, I hope it moves you. I hope the Holy Spirit speaks to you. Hopefully, you're tired of your temptations. You're tired of the world beating you down. You're tired of falling into the devil's traps. And you come to Him today. Maybe just coming to that age where you're like, yeah, it's time to give my heart to Jesus. I know Him and I love Him and I want to give everything I have to Him. This absolutely is the time for you. But I don't want to limit the Holy Spirit, for there are lots of responses to the Word. Of the utmost is prayer. Maybe you just need some prayer on your life. Maybe you need some healing prayer spoken over you. Maybe you're dealing with an illness and we can pray for you. Maybe you're dealing with some sickness in your heart you need to get rid of. Maybe you're just feeling that hope and you need an encouraging word spoke over you. That's this time too. This time is for you too. This time is given to you that you can be prayed over. Don't be ashamed. Don't be afraid. Don't let people out, they're going to see me. We'll just talk about the beginning. Your life's a train wreck. Don't get anybody, look, everybody's life's a train wreck. Don't let anybody fool you. Because if you don't listen, it's just a lie of Satan doubting in your heart the power of prayer that you could have over you this morning. So whatever you need, whatever your cause is, we're going to lower some lights down. We're going to allow the band to play. Give us some encouragement. I'm going to ask if you come up with me and help me pray if people come up. That way we can glory. Well, I'm sorry, right behind you. Talking to Kent. Sorry. Would you guys stand as we pray? As we sing.